Wonderful song. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I hope y'all are excited about the things that have already taken place. I'm excited to be able to stand in God's stead, but more importantly, to stand in my pastor's stead this morning. And another Sunday, I get a chance to preach while he's recovering, and I thank God for it. I thank God for a pastor and that would allow me to be able to do that. And I pray that God would use this time and use me in this hour to be a blessing to you. Amen? Amen? Y'all don't have to be excited about it, but I am. Amen? But I praise the Lord for it. Let me ask you a question this morning. As we often say of ourselves when we get a chance to preach and teach the Word of God, you know, God always speaks to our heart about something that is always such a blessing as we prepare to want to speak to God's people, to be a blessing and to be an encouragement. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you would say that you're going through some tough times? You know, it's amazing to me that all of us are going through some tough times. You know, if you heard it preached and you heard it said many times, if you're not going through a trial, you just come out of one. And if you're not in one, you're soon to be going into one.
Amen.
And I thought about it this morning as I get a chance to share some truths with you. I thought of this morning just want to be a blessing and an encouragement to you. You know, I think about the message that I want to preach this morning. I title it this, Suffering Just for a Little While.
Oh, there we go. Here we go.
Isn't it good to know that when God is in control, that suffering is only for a little while? Because, see, God knows exactly what you're going through.
Yes.
God knows exactly what you need in your life to get you to where he wants you to be. And we may not always agree with what God's tactics and God's way of doing things, but God has a way of doing things to get us to where he wants us to be. And I think about my salvation this morning. If it was not for the grace of God, I would not be saved. And I think that God's grace knows exactly how to apply what needs to be done to my life to get me to where I need to be. As I think about this week or just a couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to read in my devotion, a devotion that I read. It talked about, I ain't get my text yet, have I? Y'all can tell I'm excited about it. But I want you to take your Bibles, if you will. I got my Bible here, so let's all stand and we'll read it, and I continue in my introduction. Sometimes I got a thought in my mind and want to run with it, and I don't want to run and get ahead of that thought. Let me capture it and bring it back in perspective as we read the Word of God. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5, and 1 Peter chapter 5, and Peter is one of those guys that's probably like a lot of us, amen? Peter made some mistakes, but Peter's writing, I believe, is depictable to us this morning, because when you think about someone that has failed God, but yet God's grace still used Peter to be a blessing. And if you're turning, I still hear the pages turning. Last Sunday, I said we only got one service last Sunday, and we weren't coming back at 5 o'clock, so we only got one service here this morning, and I got to 5:30 now. Amen? Because the next service starts at 6 o'clock up at Bethel Baptist Church, so we got plenty of time. Amen? 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I'm going to read verse number 5. Let's start in verse 5. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may be exalted, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What a tremendous thought you think about it this morning. But I, you know, as I was reading the devotion and I thought about it, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for today. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning to be in your house. And God, I'm not worthy to stand before you this morning, neither of your people. And God, how I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, empty me of myself, Lord, and forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you want to be said and what you want to be done here this morning amongst your people. And God, how I consider it a privilege this morning, not something that I would take lightly, that I would be used by you this morning to minister in a special way. God, how we love you and we praise you and thank you for being the God of heaven who knows everything that goes on in our lives and how you allow those things to happen because you love us and you want to do some things in our lives. Help us to be receptive of the things that will be said this morning, not just to be hearers of the word, help us to be doers of the word. And if there be any here this morning that does not know Christ as Savior, God, I pray that this would be the day that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As I was sharing with you about a devotion that I read just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a message that the same area of scripture, and you know, a lot of times when you, Pastor would admit that when you read the word of God, and sometimes God just speaks to your heart about something, and then God just laid a message on my heart, and I thought about that, you know, God wants us to, he says, we're just going to suffer just a little while. Aren't you glad that suffering is not going to last forever? Aren't you glad of that? And in the devotion, I was reading, and I thought I made a copy of it, but I remember it quite well, and Dr. Chappell was sharing some thoughts about there was a man who had did a study, and in his study, he was studying some rats. And what he did was he put the rats in some water. And he allowed the rats to be in the water for a purpose that he wanted to be able to measure the effects of hope and a response to hardship and difficulty. Because when he put the rats in there, they're going to respond and react, because treading water for them, if they've never been in it before, is going to be kind of hard. And it goes on to say, he placed a number of rats in the water and took note of how long they could swim before drowning. Then he took a second set of rats and put them in the same condition. This time, just before the average time of survival was reached, his team would take the rats out of the water. And after they had rested a while and dried off, the rats were placed back into the water. This time they were able to swim for a much longer period of time. In this way, the person that was doing the study reported that the rats quickly learned that the situation is not actually hopeless. After elimination of hopelessness, the rats do not die. Most of us, if not all of us, know the feeling of enduring a trial or a time of suffering that feels like it will never end. It is tempting for us to lose hope and to give up, or to blame God and become bitter against him. But Peter reminds us this morning that our suffering is limited. Amen. It only lasts for a while. Aren't you glad? When you think about it, he says it only lasts for a while. Peter is talking about here. It only lasts for a while. I lost my place as I'm reading it. But Peter reminds us that suffering is limited. It only lasts for a while. That does not mean that it doesn't hurt or even that things will improve. But what it does mean is that there is hope. Amen. And we have a loving Father who will never fail us or forsake us. You think about it this morning. The idea here is God's goodness and grace endures that our suffering is limited and we are never without hope. No matter what it is that you're going through in life, there's always hope because God is in control. And I want to encourage myself this morning that when God says you're going to suffer for a while, but aren't you glad that it's not going to last forever? And those are those that are going to suffer for a while who are going to spend an eternity in hell because they won't turn to Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that are in the worst shape this morning, but you're a child of God this morning. As a Christian, whatever you're going through, it's only going to be for a little while. And I praise God for it this morning. I want you to think about it this morning. How many of you have gone through some trials and testings in your life and you look back and you wonder when you were going through, how in the world am I going to get through it? But if you look back and you can just praise God that you were able to make it through it. And sometimes God has to put us in some uncomfortable situations to get us to understand that it's only going to last for a little while. But even in that while, we got to trust God and don't give up hope. When you know that God is in control of what's going on in your life, you don't have to give up hope. You have hope because of who He is. And it's the grace of God that will help us to endure the trials that we're going through. Isn't God good? Isn't He such a wonderful God that He knows exactly what you're going through? When I think about Peter, who's failed God, and he talks about the grace of God, and he talks about he wanted the people, and as he's ending this chapter here, he's kind of given a benediction as to all of the things that he had talked about. And he's talking about the young people, and he's talking about the older people. You know, one of the hardest things for us as Christians, and I believe it's one of the hardest things for us to learn, and some words that Peter, we always talking about Paul, but let's talk about Peter this morning. We always talking about Paul, but let's talk about Peter. Peter used some very important words this morning that I believe that we need to understand: the grace of God. You know, grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. I think about when he's writing to these people, Peter is talking about the importance of some words that I want to read to us and just kind of point out to help kind of set the stage this morning, because I want it to be a help to us and I want it to be a blessing to us this morning when we think about the penmanship here of Peter, but think about the people that he's writing to. When Peter uses the word, where he's talking about, likewise, you young men, submit yourself. Submission is so important. And I believe one of the hardest things for people to do is to submit to authority. And if you got a problem submitting to authority that's in the presence of you, how are you going to ever submit to God? And if you don't learn how to submit, how are you going to ever learn how to be humble? But see, God knows that you need to submit. God knows you need to learn how to be humble. And God is going to work that out whether you agree with it or not. And whether you do it and follow God, He's got His way of getting you to where He wants you to be because He knows exactly what you need. That's one of the hardest things that he's writing to this church and talking about submission. He's talking about humbling yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God. And if God can't get you to submit and God can't get you to humble, how is he going to get you there? God is going to take you through some trials. God is going to take you through some testings. God is going to take you through some things that may not be what you want to be. I was thinking about this as I was meditating on it. I can look at my preacher this morning. He wouldn't ask to have Achilles surgery. He didn't know he needed it. But he didn't need it because he hurt himself. But maybe God just needed him to be somewhere where he could just get him to where he wants him to be. Because he wouldn't have asked for it. But God saw fit for it. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God knows what you're going through. And I thought it was just typical of Miss Bev sharing her testimony. I thought it was just typical of Miss Rose, who's not here, sharing her testimony. As I thought about the message this morning, God wants us to be something special. And how he does it is through suffering. But let me encourage you this morning, Christians, it's only for a little while. Aren't you glad that the sufferings and the trials that God takes you through don't last forever? It's only for a little while. I am so thankful. When I look back at my own life, and all of us could share testimonies this morning as to what God has done in our lives or what God is doing in our lives and what God wants to do in our lives. And I think Peter here understood it because Peter wasn't one of those guys that did everything quite right. He made some mistakes. But I like what Peter says here. He says here in verse number 5, he's wanting them to submit yourselves unto the elders. In other words, if you don't learn how to submit to the pastoral authority that's in the church, you'll never be submissive to God. Really, because the pastor stands in God's stead, and we need to learn how to be submissive to him. And not only because every position or positions in the church is who he's writing to, there are positions of people holding the church that we need to be submitted to, because they're in the positions of some kind of authority in our lives. But not only he says, do you need to humble yourselves, for God resisted the proud. The resistance that God is going to put up, you know what? You can't get from under God's resistance. You can't run from it. You can try to do all you can. To resist it is not what you want to do, because God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the what? To the humble. And if he can't humble you, he'll get you there. And sometimes God got to get you to where you look up. And it may not be because you're looking up because you want to. You may be on your back looking up, because he couldn't get you to look up any other way. So he got to lay you down parallel, get to lay you down stretched out so you can look up. You might even have to put your foot up, preacher, to get you to look up, because that's what God wants to do. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Are you humbling yourselves? He says here, I want you to notice some things. I done got way ahead of myself. Amen. But it's all good. I'm hoping I can bring it back together here. God wants us to be in compliance. In other words, God has a purpose for everything. He wants us to submit and be subjective to those that are in authority in our lives. And when we don't want to do that, God has his way of bringing us to where we want, where he wants us to be. Notice not only we see here, God wants us to be in compliance, but God wants us to be condescending. In other words, in verse number 6, as he says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God is going to exalt you in due time. You know, when God raises you up, it's so much better when he does it and you instead of doing it yourself. But sometimes God got to get us where he wants us to be. So everything has its place. Everything has its purpose. But notice the humility here is something that needs to take place in every Christian's life. If we don't learn how to humble ourselves, we can never be submissive to the things that are going on in our life. You know what? And all of this, believe it or not, plays a part in how God deals with you. Because you got to be willing to submit, and you got to be willing to humble yourselves when you're going through trials. Do you know that? Because you can resist what God is doing, and it can be detrimental to you. I remember it being said a long time ago, when God takes you through something, if you don't pass the test, guess what? You got to take the test all over again. I don't know how many teachers, if they're truly wanting you to learn the lesson, would let you get by and not pass the test of what they're trying to teach you. So I believe Peter's writing because submission is important, but humility is almost important. And resistance is something that you don't want to do. Because when we resist God, you know who gets the glory? That old devil. Satan gets the glory. But God wants the glory. And when we resist God, we're in trouble. And a lot of people today are going through trials, not wanting to submit to God, not wanting to humble themselves, and they're resisting everything that goes on. You know, if you're a child of God this morning, you ought to be willing to go through whatever it is that God would take you through. He says it's only going to be for a while. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. And notice why he says it's so good to comply, because God wants to exalt us in due time, because he wants to receive the honor and the praise and the glory. We live in a society today that our society, they want to be the one that be lifted up. They want to be the one that be recognized. But you know what God wants from his people? He wants the recognition. Are you willing to let God have the recognition in your life? So humility is essential. Submission and humbleness are essential, because all of those things go hand in hand. One of the most sad things that we can do is be arrogant. And it is a big problem in churches today, because people are so arrogant about what they say, when they say it, how they do it, that they forget that God is looking at your heart as to how you respond. I'm afraid today that many Christians would freeze to death because they don't want to be clothed in humility. Just think about it. He said, and be clothed in humility. In other words, God wants me to put on this coat just like I put on this jacket, put on humility the same way. And if we don't want to humble ourselves, God's got his way of humbling us. Because we don't want to humble ourselves. So he said, be clothed with humility. I'm going to get my steps in. Amen. So here we go. So he says the word resist means to oppose. In other words, when we resist, or God says when we don't humble ourselves, he resists the proud. Because when you're prideful, God can't work in your life. And the trials seem even more difficult. Because we're prideful. I can do it my own way. I can do it the way I want it to be done. We don't want to submit to God. We don't want to humble ourselves so we can resist him. But you notice here in verse 5 also, God wants to be exalted, or he wants to exalt us. But the excellency of this humility, God giveth grace unto the humble. In other words, grace is one of those attributes which makes us excellent in God's sight. And he don't want to just give you enough to get through what you're going through. God wants to pour out more of it on your life. But he won't do it when you won't humble yourself, when you won't submit yourself, when you resist what he's doing in your life. Grace, unmerited favor from God. Aren't you glad? Grace here has the idea it's a spontaneous gift from God to God's people. It's generous, it's free, it's totally unexpected, and it's totally undeserving. He's just that good, folks. But let's go on here. Notice what he says here also. That not only does God want to pour out his grace on us, but notice he wants us to be calm. He wants us to be in compliance, to be submission and to be subjective to him. Doesn't want us to be opposed. He wants us to be condescending because humility is essential. It's extended humility that needs to take place. It's exalted that's going to happen to us because we humbled ourselves. But when we're going through trials, a lot of times we are not calm. But notice what he says in verse number 8. He says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. God cares for you. Be calm. You know, we say it all the time that we should cast our cares upon him, but a lot of times we don't cast our cares. We carry our worries to bed. We sleep and wrestle through the night. We get up in the morning. We still got them. We go to work. We still got them. Y'all can put up y'all hand too. And we won't cast our cares upon him. You know why he wants us to cast them upon him? Because he careth for you. God doesn't want us to be worried to death about this or about that, because that this and that is there because of who he is. And when we're troubled with it, instead of carrying all this worry around with us, God wants us to cast it upon him, because he cares for us. And we need to be calm sometimes and just think about what's going on in my life. God is making no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. Pastor wouldn't ask for the cast. But sometimes God's got to humble us. I don't know what it is that God would use in your life, but if you're going through something, he's using it for a reason. And he has a purpose in it. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to submit ourselves. And we need to cast our cares upon him and not worry about everything. Amen. To the point we lose sight of who God is. Go, guess what? When we do that, he's talking about another old foe that's out there. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. When you give up hope on God, you know, there ain't nothing but the devil. Because he don't want you to be dependent upon God. He wants you to live for him. Because if our dependency is not on God, we're dependent on ourselves, and that's where the devil wants us to be. And he can wreak havoc in your life when you're not casting your cares upon God, because he cares for you. And the devil wins because you're not trusting God. I think even go back to the Garden of Eden. You know what got her in trouble? She forgot what God said. And listen to that old devil. Because when you're not submitting and you're not humbling yourselves before God and reading his word and in prayer about what's going on in your life, when he says casting your cares, prayer is one of the ways that you can cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And a lot of times we don't spend time in prayer. We always want to go with our grocery list, and we want our grocery list filled. But why not go to God and ask him what it is that he wants to do, or what it is that he's doing, so that I can better understand, that I can submit to it. I can humble myself to you, because that's what God wants to do. You can either do it by humbling yourselves or get it by him bringing you to it. It is so much better when you submit to it and let God do what needs to be done. Peter learned it the hard way. He denied the Lord 3 times. But Peter, I believe, when he ends this chapter in this book in 1 Peter, he talks about the grace of God. And also when he ends his second chapter, or the second book of Peter, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that was one of the first verses that I believe that I ever really truly committed to my heart when I went through discipleship. When I think about Dr. Nelson, was the first pastor that I'd ever been under that discipled me. And growing in grace was one of the first verses that I learned. Because Peter understood something. Peter failed God because he didn't understand the grace of God, because he was living for himself. So the idea here is to be calm, casting all your cares upon him. The promise for calmness is that if you cast all your cares upon him, he cares for you. And not only does he want us to be calm, because God wants us to be cautious, because here in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out there, folks, to devour you, to get you off course, to want you to think that God is holding back something from you, that God is unkind, that God doesn't know what he's doing, that God is punishing you for something, or God is not doing this, or God is not doing that. But God knows exactly what he's doing when you're his child. And that's what got Eve into trouble. That's what got Peter into trouble. And that's what'll get you into trouble. Because the devil knows exactly where to do, where to go, what to do to get you off course. He knows exactly where you are. God knows where you are, but he requires some things of you: to cast your cares upon him, to submit to him, to humbly come to God and realize, I can't do this on my own. I'd rather for God's will to be done than my will to be done. And a lot of times we pray, when God doesn't answer things the way that we want it to be done, we feel like that God has done us an injustice. But I thank God, there's many times in my life that I look back, I thank God he didn't let me do what I started to do. And if you be honest with yourself this morning, you can recall some times that you would have went the wrong way and did some things that you would regret for all of your life if it had not been for the grace of God and God showing you what he would have you to do and keep you from doing what you would do because of his grace. He cautions us in verse 8. And our conduct here is important too. Be sober. In other words, a drunkard, when he gets drunk and gets filled with alcohol, he ain't making no good decisions. I think it's a great illustration, because when you're not sober, you're not going to be vigilant. You're not going to be looking around. You're not going to be anticipating and recognizing, seeing things that's happening when you're not soberly thinking in your mind, because you're under control of some other substance. And he uses a great illustration of it. How many of you, I've heard this said before too, and I think it's so great. You know what? We should never make a major decision when we're going through a time of trial and unsurety. And many people make bad choices and bad decisions when they never confided in God about it at all. Y'all been there? Done that? Got the scars from it? Yeah. Been there, done that, got the scars from it. The devil knows. He knows exactly what to do. See, the devil ain't gonna tempt you with something that he knows not gonna draw you away from God's will for your life. He's gonna bring something into your life that's gonna stir you up, get you off course. You'll never, if you're not sober and you're not vigilant, looking around and being aware of your surroundings and what's going on in your life, because the devil knows and he'll put those things out there. And before you know it, you're in an area, you're in a place, you're doing something that you never should be doing because you weren't really aware of what was going on around you. But the devil knows.
That's right.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He ain't gonna come to me with smoking. He ain't gonna come to me with alcohol. He may not come with you with those things, but he knows what it is that'll get you, your mind and your thought process and your decision making. He knows exactly where to take you in your mind where you ought not be. And you got to be aware of that. I need to stay away from those things. I need to stay away from those places. I need not to consume those things. I need not to be involved in those things. I need to be aware of them, because the greatest temptation is when you're not expecting, is when you get caught up in it. Because you're not diligent. You're not consuming yourselves in the Word of God. And I was telling the young people this morning, if you're going to make good choices and good decisions, you need to saturate your mind and your heart with the Word of God. Seek God's direction, casting all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. The devil is a roaring lion. God wants us to be cautious about how we handle ourselves. God wants us to be combatant. Look what it says here, because he's talking and he's using a lot of military terms as I begin to study this out. Whom resists, he's talking about the devil here, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He's telling us how we can strongly oppose the devil is in our faith in God. When the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, he didn't come tempting him with water. He came tempting him with food, because he had fasted for what? 40 days and 40 nights. So the devil knew he was hungry. Cast these stones, turn them into bread. He didn't ask him to turn into wine. He told him to turn them into bread. Because I know you're hungry. I know you want to eat. He knows. And we got to be strong in our faith. Know what you believe, because there's a world out here today, young people who want to steer your way. And my wife and I were having this conversation yesterday as I was thinking about this message. There are so many young people today who want to have this legal or this liberal Christianity. But if it says it in God's word that we ought to be different, we ought to be different. I ought not toe the line just to prove to myself that I can consume alcohol. I can drink wine socially. You know what happens to social drinking? They become drunks.
That's right.
And they become alcoholics. Because we want to toe the line. Don't toe the line. Be a Christian. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him the way that it ought to be. I want to have a testimony for God. And I believe God takes us through some things because he wants us to have a testimony. And how we act and how we respond. You know, there's always somebody watching you.
Right.
I was telling my wife this week, one of the guys said, I can't believe Pastor White, you don't call me Pastor, are you a Christian? They act like that? I said, when I don't act like I'm supposed to, how you think a Christian ought to act, you confront me with it. Because I owe it to you to be like a Christian and act like one. Not you, but I owe it to my God. And you know what? Sometimes God used the most unexpected thing to bring to our attention is that how you're supposed to act. And most of us will get prideful. I ain't gonna let no unsaved person tell me how to act. You know what? It may not be him just telling you something. It might be God speaking to you. Because when we live in a submissive state and we live in a humility state of life, you know what? God can speak to us through anything. God spoke through the donkey. Because he had something he wanted to be said. Humility, submission, casting, resisting. All of these words, and Peter still points out grace, how good God's grace is. So we can oppose it. But God wants us to be comforted. I like this too. Look at verse number 9 as well. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. I got to have faith that God knows exactly what he's doing. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, he's talking to Christians. There are many other people going through suffering. There's other people, as I said this morning, to draw your attention to how many of us are going through some trials. How many of us are going through some things in our life? All of us are going through something. You're not the only one. And a lot of times we look around and we think that we're the only ones going through some rough times and some hard times. But you know what? You're not the only one. You know, I heard it said before, if you could go to a room and everybody had to bring their life and all the trials that were going on in their life, and you bring your shoes and you had to throw them all into a pile, and each one of them pair of shoes told you a story as to what somebody else is going through. A lot of times you take your pair of shoes, put them on, and go back because you don't want that. Because a lot of times they're going through a lot worse things than you're going through. You think that's bad. Listen to the news. Turn on the TV. Listen to the radio. Do the Facebook. And some of the things people put on it, I'd be like, I'm glad I don't even have an account. I don't even know how to get on it. I'm glad I don't. And I think Facebook is one of those things people get bold and put all kind of stuff up there. You know, somebody's looking at you, and they first thing they say, I thought that person was a Christian. And look at all of the pictures, and look at all of the things that you're saying, and all the things that you're doing. But you know what? Those people see it, but how do you think God feels about it? Right. He don't like it either. And sometimes we bring the suffering, the testing, and the trials in our lives. We bring them to ourselves because we don't want to conform to the things that God wants for our lives, because we want to do our own thing. Get my steps in. We got to 5:30. Yeah. Amen. So he wants us to understand, to comfort ourselves, to know that we're not the only ones going through some hard times. We're not the only ones, but the comfort that he wants us to know that I like about this whole thing is that, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish. I like that. Those are some wonderful truths of some things that need to take place in our lives. Comfort. Steadfast. Resist. Steadfast has the idea here. Resist evil must be done steadfastly. We got to put forth some effort. We may have to draw the line as to some things that we're not going to do, because we know that those things aren't good for us. We got to be steadfast. As he says here, God wants us to be here in verse 10. He says, but you suffer for a little while, but I want you to make you perfect. In other words, God wants to shape us into something. He wants to establish us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to settle us. When we allow God to do those things in our lives, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Because that's God's desire. That's God's design for our lives. For our lives. That is what God wants for us. I like what happens when we do all of these things and God works and we allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, when we're going through some hard times in our lives, you can only get from God. It's not as the world gives. But my peace I give to you. I like what Colossians 3:15 says, but let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful that God wants to do these things in your life. Make us perfect. This involves completion of our salvation. I like what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For we are his what? We are his workmanship. Created unto what? Good works. I like that. He wants to make us perfect. And you know what? We got to be persistent. The devil is persistent in what he's doing, but God wants us to be established. This means to put one on solid, a solid foundation so you will stand firm in your faith. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. It is so important so that we can have the strength, be strengthened. We need the power of God upon our lives to be victorious. And God grants that through suffering. And we may not like that. But I like it is it's only going to be for a little while. It ain't going to always be forever. Because that's how God works. He knows exactly where to bend us. He knows how to straighten us out. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to put his arms around us and tell us that he loves us. It's going to be all right. God is the only one that can do that. And it's only for a little while that he allows us to go through it. And I believe Peter understood that. And that's why he could pen it down after you suffer for just a little while. And the peace, he wants us to be settled. Suffering can upset us, but if we will also, it will bring peace that can survive many storms. And as those rats, as we think about them, when you first get into the storm, sometimes it seems like it's hopeless. But as God continues to work in your life and you go through different trials in your life, God is working and you believe it by faith that you can continue to trust him. The next one gets, not to say it gets easier, but I just understand it just a little bit better. And when he put those rats back in there the second time, I like what it says. He kind of took them out, dried them off. You know, that's how God works too. Reassured them, put them back in the water. And they were able to endure just a little bit longer. And you know what? They didn't die. They learned how to survive. And it's the same way in our Christian life. Sometimes God takes us through some things. And you've been through some things in your life. How many of y'all been through something in your life? Are you dead yet? No. Might have felt like it. Could have been that close. But until it closes, you're still alive. You ain't dead yet. But that's how God works. I want you to think about suffering this morning. It's only for just a little while. And we got heaven to look forward to. And a God that loves us, knows exactly what we're going through. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. That's a promise from God. And you ain't the only one going through some tough times. I don't want to trade what you got. I just want to deal with what God has led me to deal with. That's enough for me. Amen. And whatever it is that you're going through, you ain't dead yet. God is still on the throne. He still loves you. He knows exactly what he's doing. Don't let the devil convince you. Don't let the devil convince you any otherwise, because that's what he wants to do. When it seems hopeless, and you think that there's no way out, that's just the devil talking to you.
Right, right.
It ain't God. Because we have hope. It's because of the grace of God. And what I like about the grace of God, there's a whole lot of it.
That's right.
And there's enough of it to go around that it's never going to be exhausted. You can't outdo it. You can't do without it. But you can't outdo it. And he gives it freely to those that will humble yourselves. Therefore, in the sight of God, because he resisted the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. Those that are willing to submit, those are willing to humble themselves and not be so prideful. That's all of the devil. Peter understood that. What am I trying to say this morning? You're going to go through some rough times. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But what I am saying, you can trust God, the grace of God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. You don't have to tell me what it is, but God knows what it is. And God knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. And there's nothing that a Christian has that going on in his life that is not necessary. Because the Bible tells us they that will live godly is going to what? Suffer persecution. And I was telling the young people this morning, if you're living right, expect it. When you're not living right, probably nothing going to happen. You think that you're okay. If somebody ain't resisting what you have to say and talking about you as a Christian, there might be something wrong. They ought to be talking about you. They ought not agree with your lifestyle and the way that you choose to live by faith. You're crazy. But you know what? That's what God desires, is us to be faithful. The grace of God. Peter said, the grace of God. The grace of God. But the God of all grace. The God of all grace. I want to close with this verse here. And we always read this verse sometimes when we're given challenges from the Word of God about giving. But I believe the principle is so true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, and God is able, woo, to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All grace abound. Not just some of it, but all grace abound. And it's not just, the principle is not just for giving. I believe it's for living. Peter understood that. But grow in grace and in the knowledge, because as we grow in grace and we grow in grace, we grow in knowledge, we understand what God is doing in our lives. Amen. And it's to make us better Christians. That's right. And it's to help us, because we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some testings. Amen. God knows where you are. God knows exactly what you needed. I think about them rats. And what a truth it is. Because they realize after a while, that ain't hopeless. We just take our times. Take our time. Don't get so excited. Don't try to fight the water. But learn how to float and swim in the water. Learn how to trust God. Because that's what faith is all about. Humble yourselves. Don't resist them. And you know what? Don't be disappointed when it don't go your way. I think a lot of Christians struggle today because they don't get it their way. I'm glad God don't give it my way, because then I think I don't need him. But the more that he does it his way is the more humility that'll show up in your life, because you humble yourself and you realize he's in control and he's doing a pretty good job, whether you believe it or not. Because a lot of times we bring it on ourselves, but God always brings it back to where it needs to be. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose in the suffering that you go through, because he wants to conform you to his image. God doesn't want us to wait till we get to heaven to be like him. God wants us to live like him now so that we can win other people to him. And we can have a testimony. And we can learn how to trust them before we even get to heaven. Think about it. It's just for a little while. Aren't you glad it's not going to last forever? But let me say something to you this morning. If you're here without Christ, the Savior, there is a suffering that you can never outdo. Because if you leave this world without Christ, the Savior, there's a suffering that's going to take place for all eternity. Those of us as Christians here this morning that can claim the blood of Jesus Christ, our suffering is only going to be for a little while. You know what? And it really ain't as bad as we think it is. It could be a whole lot worse. Like I say, you could go in a room and everybody brought their shoes. If all of us put our shoes in this aisle right now and say, okay, you take which pair you think is going to best be, work for you, I still say I think I take this size 13 boots and I put them back on and going back home. Amen? Because it ain't as bad. And we all know where we are this morning with the trials and everything that's going on in our lives. We know where we are. God does too. God wants us to be comforted this morning. God wants to work in our lives in a special way. Aren't you glad that he knows exactly what he's doing? only for a little while, suffering for a little while because of the grace of God. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. You know, I just thank God this morning for the privilege to be here in his house. And sometimes things that are said are not just meant for those that hear it, but in my own heart, I need to follow these things that I said to you this morning. I need to learn how to cast all of my cares upon him because he cares for me. And I need to humble myself, therefore, in the sight of God. I need to learn how to be in submission, not to resist God with a prideful heart and a prideful attitude, because he gives more grace to those that are humbly seeking him. And we have an adversary who knows exactly what it takes to keep us from doing what God would have us to do. Don't give in to him this morning. And sometimes suffering can cause us to get angry with God, and we can get bitter and we think that everything is against us. But you know what? God is not against you this morning if you're his child. The suffering that you're going to go through is only for a little while. Only for a little while. That he can make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you through the suffering and the trials that you go through. God, help us this morning. You know our hearts. You know each need. Let's all stand at our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. We're going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And maybe God has spoken to your heart about something that you need to do, about something that you're going through. It's only for a little while. And the peace of God that he wants you to have, it's not the peace that the world gives, but only the peace that comes with trusting God. Suffering is permitted by God. Peter tells us that. Speaking of God's will is the suffering that he's talking about. We're going to go through some things in our lives because if we're his child, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You know, there's an eternity waiting for those to be suffering forever. The Bible talks about how the worms die not and how there's anguish. No one knows that you're there. You don't know that you're there. You have no idea who's next to you, if there is any someone there. But God doesn't want us to go there. That's why Jesus came to die for your sin and for mine. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to trust Christ the Savior. Why don't you come and let someone take a Bible to show you how you can be saved? There's an old-fashioned altar here this morning that you can come and pour your heart out to God. So God, I don't understand all that I'm going through, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to cast all of my cares upon you because I know you care for me more than I can care for myself. I want you to be in control of my life and to understand that you have your perfect way of working in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning, you're looking for a good church to join. I can't think of a better one that you could join to become a member of this church. Maybe that's your need. Our pastor and his wife will be at the door here in just a moment. You can talk to him about joining the church. You can talk about those things when you come and let us know that it's something you have that you'd like to do. And most of all, don't leave here this morning if you're not 100% sure that heaven will be your home. That's why we're here this morning. If this same God has extended the grace that's given for salvation, first of all, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't get to heaven on your own merit. It's all by the grace of God. You can't live this Christian life apart from the grace of God. God needs to live in you so that he can live through you, that you can go through what you go through. this life. Father, thank you again for today's message. God, I thank you so much for how I didn't do probably a lot of justice to everything that was here. But you spoke to my heart throughout this week about just the importance of how you work in my life. And I prayed it this morning. It's been a blessing and encouragement to others that may be struggling with the suffering and the trials that we all go through. And it won't end until Jesus comes. We go out of one and go into another. But I'm so glad that you say you never leave us, nor will you forsake us. Bless now, I pray, as we depart. Bring us back tonight as we go up to Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, are you blessed in the services there as well as we look forward to celebrating a Founders Day. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.